When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The presenting sponsor of the City of Smack podcast is On. Experience the magic of the Penn Relays with On. Races, athletes, new kits, new faces, try the latest On running shoe innovations, customize your gear, and more. For the full event schedule, keep tabs on the Penn Relays website. And if you can't be there in person, follow On Instagram for all of the action. The City of Smack team will be in Philadelphia at Franklin Field for that weekend slate of races. We're so excited. Thanks to On for supporting City of Smack. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the City of Smack podcast. I'm Chris Chavez, and this is my show where I get the chance to chat with some of the biggest names on the track, on the roads, within the coaching ranks, and across the running industry. Before we hit our interview, you know we love giving listeners a shout out when they leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you want yours to be read, leave us a 5-star review and let us know why you love this show. This week's review comes to us from @Kevin_Mar10, who wrote, "It's the running podcast content we didn't know we deserved. From race preview to meet recaps, it's the conversations and stories that for so long went untold. Love the coverage and energy that the City of Smack crew brings to the sport." That's the whole mission here at City of Smack, is to make you care about the athletes and also tell some of those often overlooked or forgotten stories. So thanks for your review, Kevin.
What's up, guys? It's Mac Fleet taking over for another episode. My guest for this one is American record holder in the mile and world indoor 3,000 meter silver medalist, Yared Nuguz. We recap his takeaways from the indoor season and then get pretty in the weeds when it comes to racing over 1,500 meters. It's obviously my favorite event, so whenever I get the chance to pick the brain of one of the best in the world, I've got to. If you haven't watched it on the City of Smack YouTube channel already, we've got a workout with Yared and Ollie Gore before he went off to Australia to finish second at their national championships. Both of them will be racing in the mile at Penn Relays, so stay tuned for more coverage from the City of Smack team when we head there on April 25th. It's one of the best and most historic meets in the world. Thanks to On for backing City of Smack and our coverage of the Penn Relays. Without further ado, here is Yared Nuguz.
All right, welcome to the City of Smack podcast. I am Mac Fleet, joined by OAC's Yared Nuguz. Yared, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
How are you feeling after this morning's workout?
Pretty good, pretty good. Just had most of the day to chill out, relax, so it's a pretty hard one, but, you know, can't wait for it, feeling fine.
Ollie was really giving it to you running those 74s.
At the thresholds, I was like, what 74s? No, I'm simply not a threshold person, so I was very, like, not about it.
All right, how are you feeling ahead of this 2024 outdoor season?
I've been feeling really good. I think just coming off my indoor season, obviously things went, like, really, really well there. So I think a lot of it has just been, you know, like, now I'm going to have, like, a pretty big break into, like, my next race. So just, like, kind of getting in some good training and, like, really staying mentally focused and using that momentum from indoor to kind of, you know, see what I can do outdoors.
What's your biggest takeaway from that indoor season?
Yeah, I think the biggest learning experience was definitely Worlds. I feel like the other races are races I've done a lot before and just, like, kind of know how they go. Versus Worlds is, like, something that I've really only done, like, one other time. So I think a big thing I want to take away from Worlds is just, like, kind of framing my mindset in a way of just, like, you know, you are as good as, like, you think you are and people tell you you are. Like, you just have to, like, go out there and kind of act like it a little bit. And, you know, I think that's, like, that just comes with a lot of, like, mental, like, you know, really accepting that. I think I gained a lot of success really quickly, so it's still been, like, a little bit surprising. Not so much anymore. But so it's just kind of, like, I really have been trying to, like, really focus on what, you know, focus on who I am as a runner and, like, where I'm supposed to be in a race. Mm-hmm. So that was, like, the biggest takeaway.
How different is it racing that championship style race versus your, you know, I would say what you've mostly done over the last 2 years, which have been really fast, either 15s or 3Ks? You know, how different is that championship style racing?
Yeah, it's a lot more fun for starters, just because you don't, there's nothing set up, there's no expectations, it's just like go out there and win. And I feel like especially in a 3K, like a race I haven't done a lot before, that was also just a nice, fun little extra thing that kind of happened that I got to experience. But, you know, like championship races like that are like everyone, I feel like it's kind of like a step up on their normal game. Like going from a lot of the Diamond Leagues I raced to like Outdoor World last year, it felt a little different. I think at the Diamond Leagues it was like, oh, everyone's kind of like running on this paced race and just hanging on for the most part and seeing what you can do, versus like Worlds, everyone's going to be there and everyone is supposed to be like making that push at the end. So you kind of not like stay out of it a little bit. And you know, it's just, you know, figuring that out a little bit, learning what I need to do in those situations and just, you know, becoming the racer I want to be.
Do you feel like in the championship races you need to be a little bit more responsive, or not like you in particular, but just because it's a championship race, you need to be more responsive to other people's moves, or is it more leaning into what you think you're best at and being more aggressive about your own moves?
It's definitely more on my own, what I'm doing. People are going to be doing more things than normal, and that's important to take into account, but you can't be like running your race based on what they're doing. You have to run your race your way.
Right.
So a lot of it is just, you know, like not putting myself in positions where I have to worry about like what everyone else is doing, because then I can just run my own race in peace and, you know, put my actual ability to the test. And, you know, I do great at races where like I'm not crowded or like boxed in or anything. So just don't run boxed in and then I'll be great. So yeah.
there was a straightaway in that race, and there was like a moment where everyone was sort of crushing in towards the turn, and Josh is, you know, you guys still have quite a bit of running left, and Kerr is out there and he's got his arms out, boxed out, and you got someone coming in, and I see you're like, oh, I'm going to get as thin as possible, and you kind of slide through a little spot, and I was like, oh, look at the, like, just two different styles going on here for indoor racing.
Yes.
Funny just to kind of see the two opposite sides of that. How much stronger do you feel this season than last at this point?
I felt a lot stronger, honestly. I feel like my aerobic strength has just taken leaps and bounds ever since I left college, honestly, but it still feels like a little ways to go, just, you know, getting in like a few more workouts that are a little longer that I might be comfortable with. And that'll always help. Even in a 1500, it's always like, especially these days, how fast 1500s are, it's always going to be like a little more strength based. So it's important to be ready for that. And I feel like I've been really, you know, having my training in a way that really responds well to just that kind of race.
What's been the biggest reason for, I would say, your consistency at this level? I mean, in college, you had like a few, you'd have an insane race and then maybe not so great of a race. you know, okay, you obviously still had a fantastic collegiate career, but I don't think you could say that you were as consistent as you are now. What's been the biggest
I would argue that my lack of
consistency. Or I'm wrong.
My lack of consistency was just my last year, because I was that was after the whole Olympics injury thing.
Okay.
And then that was
inconsistent.
Yeah. And it's funny, I feel like people are just like, I feel like I saw things like a long time. It's like, yeah, like you just never know what Yard's going to do. I'm like, I know what I'm going to do. Like, I'm just going
to. Right, tell me to shut up then.
But no, it's just, I think, you know, a lot of it has, I think staying healthy has been like obviously a really big thing for any kind of consistency, like doing all the little things, just stretching, getting treatment, all that stuff has been a lot more accessible. And I have a lot more time for those things and recovery in general, which has been really, really helpful. I feel like probably like partially my training too. I'm not too picky about my training or anything, but I feel like my training kind of like lends me a lot of strength that is needed for like that kind of consistent performance. I don't know. I feel like last year I was very like, yeah, just kind of like on, like every single race mostly. And so, I don't know, a big part of that is just like having training that like is a little bit flexible, but at the end of the day, you're still going to be, you know, there when you're racing and need to be there. But yeah, probably just those two things. Top brain training.
I would say, how valuable was it last year at Worlds, and I guess this indoors at Worlds, just experiencing the rounds and how, I want to say, like, cutthroat it is going into trials?
Yeah, I feel like the rounds weren't as bad as I thought they were going to be. I was worried, but I felt like at that point, especially, I was just like, I've done so well in like every race. Mm. If I can't get like top four or five or whatever it was, like, what am I even doing anyway? But a lot, big part of the placement is that, you know, consistency. Like, if you're not feeling right on the day, then like, yeah, you're not going to race your best. But, I've been like pretty consistent regardless. So I think I felt like pretty comfortable in like both of those rounds. And it was kind of like that final where like that pressure builds a little bit, that like you really feel like those nerves a little bit, just like, you know, this is it. Mm-hmm. Everything we've been training for, like, let's go and do it. Worlds indoor to a less extent, because the 3K was just like a straight final. But I still like definitely felt those like nerves and that pressure building even without the rounds beforehand. So yeah, it's like, I think it's something that I'm always ready for. I think rounds have always been like something I'm pretty good at. So I've never been too worried whenever like they come up, even if there's like three of them.
How fun was it watching George in that 15?
That was amazing. I was just, because I was after my race, which was great. And then, so I was just like in the stands, just getting to like scream my head off and whatever. And I was saying, I feel like that's like my ideal outcome. Like, one of my teammates winning, and like a lot of the US guys up there too. Like, it's just everything how I could have wanted it, like, happening. And also just the fashion he wanted in. Like, you always know George is gonna do something crazy, but to see him actually do it, like, from whatever it was, like, seventh or eighth to first, it's just absolutely bonkers and so much fun. I've kind of joked a bit. I was just like, okay, so I come back from like fifth place and I'm only able to get second. He comes back from seventh and goes first. I should have just come back from seventh, is what I'm hearing.
I've been saying to everyone that because he just validated the textbook George move, that no one's going to be able to criticize him ever again for it. He's a world champion now.
He literally is. So it's just really fun, and I was so happy for him. Just like a like cherry on top, because like I was like our team's like first medal, then like George is like our first gold, and I was like, oh, that's just great, same meet. So yeah, I was super pumped for him. Still surprised I haven't like been at the receiving end of one of those textbook George kicks, but we don't race that much, so I don't know, but we'll see.
The presenting sponsor of the Sidious Mac podcast is Olipop. This has been an exciting year for Olipop. In addition to renewing their partnership with us for 2024, they are now being sold at Aldi and Wawa. They've been popping up with events, advertising, and branding in Austin, Miami, and DC. They just signed on to sponsor John Hunter Nemechek and car number 42 in the NASCAR Cup Series. Big things are happening. What has become known as the Runner Soda isn't just a great companion for pregame shows or post-race shows. It's good for you, too. It's a prebiotic soda with 9 grams of fiber, which is 32% of your daily needs, and only has 2 to 5 grams of sugar, and helps your digestive health in a way that a threshold workout could never. We love it because there are 15 incredible flavors that will keep your body refreshed and ready to go for that next workout. My current favorite is lemon lime, although tropical punch is a close number 2. Caitlin Tui's number 1 flavor is ginger lemon. There's other greats like vintage cola, orange squeeze, cherry vanilla. Sidious Mag podcast listeners, you get 25% off non-subscription orders by using code SIDIOUS25 at checkout when you visit drinkolipop.com. You can also find Olipop at Whole Foods, Sprouts, Kroger, Target, Walmart, Publix, and other retailers. But we encourage you to shop online at drinkolipop.com, support Sidious Mag, and use code SIDIOUS25 at checkout. The next time you're looking for a refreshing and healthy drink after that long run or hard workout, reach for an Olipop. You won't be disappointed. DrinkOlipop.com, code SIDIOUS25.
From day one of joining OAC to now, how have you seen the team change? And is it surreal at all how sort of successful the entire group has been in your time here?
Yeah. I feel like a big part of the changes was just, you know, me changing and kind of like coming into this group. They were obviously all very welcome and, you know, very like kind people, but I think that's all well and good, and that was like why I joined the team. But you know, really getting to know them a little bit and like you know who they actually are has been just like a really fun experience, and just you know has given me like a lot more respect for everyone and what everyone is able to do, like you know knowing them a little bit more. And you know we talk about just like how much everything has changed and just how much success we've had like these last couple of years, but it, when you take a step back and like really appreciate it, it is like very surreal and just so exciting, because I don't know, to be on a team of people who are like performing that well all the time like definitely pushes you to like kind of be your best. So I've been very grateful to kind of be a part of that.
Everyone has said that you are maybe the worst pacer on the team.
Okay. That's rude, especially after what I did today for Ollie. but yes.
Validated or no?
100% validated, yes. It's not my fault, really. It is. But I just, there's something about slower paces, especially. I think anything slower than a 60, like, I don't know how to run that. I think I know how to run fast, and I know how to run really slow. But that like weird middle ground where it's like, oh, we need to run like, I don't know, 440 pace or like 420 pace or something. I'm just like, I don't know how to do that. I haven't done that like in so long, and there never feels like there's a reason for it. So my body kind of like freaks out, and I usually go a little too fast, but sometimes a little too slow. But some days when it's like fast.
Today,
yes.
Today you were dead on. I was witness.
Thank you. When it like really matters, I think I like buckle down. Because Martin, I talked about this too. Like during races, like the amount of consistency I can have, just like I'm a master pacer or something, and then I come out to practice and I'm just like, how do I run 8:35? I can't. So it's just like, I try, and I think I've improved, but I'm probably the worst. Yeah.
Where do you find yourself leading in reps or kind of like taking charge in a workout? There's a lot of obviously very good runners on the team. Yeah. Where is your space to sort of take the lead?
My space is certainly the faster, more interval-y kind of stuff. 400s are great for me, and anything under 400, 300, 200 are all just like amazing distances for me to run, because there's very little air and I feel like I don't make as many errors. 200s being among some of my favorites, because I don't feel like you are ever really hurting in a 200. That's just me. Definitely the faster stuff, and definitely not anything threshold. I will avoid that.
Do you find yourself studying race tactics at all of your competitors, yourself? Is there any sort of like self-scouting? Are you thinking about potential ways to maybe get a better hand at some of your competitors?
Yeah, I'm definitely not thinking about it that strategically or that much. I definitely look back at my own races and I'm just like, okay, I should have done this and this and like I'll learn from that and hopefully like take that into my next race. But I'm never like too intently watching like a race, especially if like I'm not in it. So I'm just like, you know, I'm not studying what other people are doing, but I think Dathan studies it plenty enough for me anyways. He'll be like, he's gonna do this and right. You gotta do this, and I'll be like, okay, noted.
In a race against people like Josh Kerr or Jakob, what doesn't come across to the viewer? What don't we see?
Yeah. I feel like you don't see how sweaty they look from the back.
Budapest was disgusting.
Yeah.
As a fan, it was disgusting. You would get dripped. It wasn't raining, but you would get dripped on.
Yeah.
And you're like, what is that? It's the accumulation of sweat from all of the fans. It was disgusting. Everyone had their feet. It was the worst.
Yeah.
But through the race.
Yes. I think a lot of it is, you know, when you make how hard a move is to make and like how much you have to commit to that if you are going to do that. I feel like a lot of my races kind of lean on like a more, you know, end of the race kind of push versus like a middle of the race kind of push. But I think a lot of it is still just like when you make that push, like kind of like committing to it. Like I don't want to like, I'm trying not to now, like pass, like if I'm like back or where I want to be, I don't want to like pass like some people and like, you know, be like second or third. I want to like pass to the front, maybe, like, because that's like, you know, if they, or at least try, because then like you're kind of like put in that perfect position to continue like being in that perfect spot. So I feel like a lot of it is just, you know, a lot that I'm thinking about a little bit is when to make like kind of the right move. Like, I don't ever want to be like, oh, I moved too early, but you know, moving too late is like obviously worse. And those guys are like hard guys to get around. I'm sure I know I'm not easy to run behind personally. I know that from my whole team, but I think a lot of it is not being afraid. And kind of like, you know, being like, I need to be up there and you got to make that happen. So just really taking in that confidence and just being like, all right, one solid push, just go, is kind of really important. I'm not great at making one very fast move. I think my moves are very slow and dramatic and crowd flashy, but I don't mean them to be. I want to be like a little more like quicker, but it's just not really in my nature as much to just like do that so fast.
Was the race in Eugene last year, mile with Jakob, that in any way reassuring? There's not going to be a world championship final or an Olympic final that's ever that fast.
No.
Right? So like, I guess you can sort of get that out of the back of your mind that nothing's going to time-wise be that scary.
Yeah. In my head, I'm just like, I'm very capable of running a fast pace. So it's just, I shouldn't be afraid to like push it if I feel like I need to do that. And that was a great race just for, you know, like, just like, I feel like it's just raw, like, I think like talent and where my training was at that point. Like, it's just like, I was extremely fit at that point. And so, you know, I want, as long as I'm like there when I need to be, then it's just like, I feel like I should be able to compete with whoever. And, you know, I didn't lose to Jakob in that specific race. I feel like I'm still getting stronger. And so, you know, and if the race, when the race is a little bit slower, it's like that kind of plays into more of my strengths anyway. So kind of like leaning into that and really just, I don't know, making it happen a bit.
Velus is the active recovery footwear brand that is designed to help you restore, revive, and re-energize before and after you train. They are launching two new styles to their recovery mix for spring 2024, the Active Slide and the Active Flip collection. These active recovery sandals are super lightweight and equipped with Velus's three-part tri-motion technology. They cradle your heel with impact-absorbing foam that cushions your feet with every step. It's got amazing arch support and forefoot flex that allows your fatigued feet and toes to stretch and relax. Velus is focused on helping athletes recover faster before and after you train so you can get after your next run performing at your best. Run, recover, repeat with Velus. Enjoy a 20% discount by entering code SidiousMag20 at checkout at velusfootwear.com.
What are you most looking forward to right now in this outdoor season?
I guess the Olympics. That a cheap cop out? I don't know.
In between, what are you excited about between now and trials? Is there anything that you're... is it just training? Is it, you know, are you...
I mean, yeah, I only have like one race on the docket now, which is Pre. Right. And, you know, Pre is going to be very exciting too. Very, very pumped for that. But I don't know. It's not going to be like the... I don't know, I'm probably more excited for the trials than I am for Pre, just because trials are like, oh, my ticket to the Olympics.
Right.
But, you know, I'm excited for Pre, and just excited also to just be able to train for like this long uninterrupted and also stay in America this long. So actually enjoy the Boulder summer. That'll be very nice.
All right, last couple questions. What's going to make a successful 2024 outdoor season for you?
I think it's just going to be like continuing to have fun. I think it's something I say a lot. It's easy for me to say because I do really well a lot of the time, but it is like why I run, and it is how I measure my success. Like, I don't know. I've had like other experiences like back in like high school or college where like I'll do really well. I'll just be like, that was like the most boring thing I've ever done though. So it's just like, it's not as exciting as I want it to be. So I want, you know, my races to be like very exciting, like pushing my limits and like seeing what I'm capable of, and just like overall really fun. Because I think when you have fun, you get that success, that conventional success that comes with it. So, yeah, I think if I'm enjoying every race and having fun with it by the end of the season, then it was a good season.
All right, last question, last two questions. Has your tortoise come out of hibernation yet? And what's the first meal going to be?
Yeah, he has not. He will come out in this weekend, hopefully. I need to kind of rebuild his, I guess, terrarium to make it a little bit bigger because I think he would appreciate that. But I'm not really good with tools, so we'll see how that goes. But he'll wake up this weekend, and his first meal will probably be just a lot of tortoise feed and collard greens. He needs the nutrients from being asleep for so long. And we'll save some dessert stuff for probably like a week after or something. But yeah.
Man, do I wish I could take a nap for that long. That would be amazing.
Me too.
How long has it been?
It's been 4 months. Especially during like the worst parts of the year, like I didn't want to be awake this whole like these last 4 months, but this is what it is. I'm not toward it.
All right, Yarn, thanks so much for your time. Best of luck at pre and trials, obviously. And yeah, thanks for your time.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you all for listening to this episode. I love doing this for you guys, so please do me a favor and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That helps us grow the show and get even more awesome guests. Let me know what you're enjoying about the show. Make sure you're subscribed or following on your favorite podcast players. Please share this episode with your friends if you think that they'll get any value or inspiration out of it. Let's build this thing together. Visit CityusMag.com for a lot more. We've got a brand new website with tons more articles, videos, and podcasts. As always, I love track and field. I'm Chris Chavez. See you next time.